First of all, God's resurrection power can cancel our past. When I talk about our past, I'm talking about our failures, our mistakes, our sins, the things we regret. And when I say cancel, I'm not talking about God is simply pretending that those things never happened. I'm talking about something far better than that. The word cancel in the Greek means to eliminate, to neutralize, to offset something. I can't tell you how many people over the years have told me, I just wish I could wipe out the past and start all over again. Why? Because we've all suffered from failures, from problems, from sins, from bad decisions, from making stupid mistakes on the spur of the moment. But no matter what we have done wrong in the past, God says we do not have to keep carrying that heavy load of guilt, of hurt, and of the memories of our past mistakes. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 14, I want you to listen to the important words that God has to say to each one of us this morning. He has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. He did it by allowing Christ to be nailed to the cross. If you remember nothing else about the message this morning, remember this. God knows every single thing you have ever done wrong. But He did not die on the cross to condemn you. He died on the cross to change. He died on the cross to change. Another way of saying it, He did not come to this earth to rub our mistakes in our face. He came to rub them out. It's so much better. I want you to think of your past mistakes this way. How many of you, when you were a child, ever played with an Etch-a-Sketch? Remember those? Those were so much fun. You could draw and you could draw and you could make mistakes, and then all you had to do was shake it and you had a brand new clean slate to start with. God is the ultimate Etch-a-Sketch. We do all the things wrong and He shakes us up and lets us start all over. That is an amazing thought. That reality is seen in Jeremiah 31, 34 when God tells the Israelites He will remember their sins no more. I want you to think about the implications of that for a few moments. When we come to God in the way that He has asked, when we admit our sins to Him, when we ask Him to forgive us, God then deliberately chooses not to remember what we have done wrong. And He chooses not to hold it against us. And that means that if you were to make a sin right now, and you were to die a moment later, and when you appeared before God, and you said, but God, what about that sin I committed just before I died? He would go, what sin? All I see is a child. Now, what's the basis of that forgiveness? When Jesus died on the cross, one of the last things He said before His death was, it is finished. Those three English words come from one Greek word, tetelestai, which means paid in full or canceled. It was the word that merchants wrote on bills when the transaction was paid off. They would put tetelestai, paid in full. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. His blood paid in full the debt we owed to God for every sin we ever made. And the incredible result of what Jesus did through His blood on the cross is seen in Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But God doesn't just use His resurrection power to cancel our past. God is interested in changing our life right now. And that is why His resurrection power can help us conquer our problems. Now, sometimes we face problems of our own making. Sometimes we face them because we're in a world where sin and evil surrounds us. But no matter the reason why, all of us deal with problems every day in our life. Much of the time, even we as Christians, we try to solve those problems with and through our own strength. But when we do that, no matter what happens, the problems remain. And sometimes when we overcome one problem, it seems as if 10 more problems take their place. I love what I read about one man who was frustrated about his inability to overcome life problems, and he summed it up this way: I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes, doesn't that sum up what you feel? Another person said it this way: what can I do? Just about the time I make ends meet, the ends move. Have you ever felt that way? If so, there's a better way, you can and I can handle the problems. And that's to start trusting God that He will take care of them the way He said He would. Romans 8:35, Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And then he goes on to answer his own question in verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. A conqueror is one who overcomes by gaining control. And Paul says that because of God's love for us, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors who can experience the overwhelming victory in our life because of Jesus Christ. When we put our lives in God's hands, nothing, not even the problems that seem so overwhelming at the time, nothing can overcome or destroy us. That's the message of the resurrection that you and I need today. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that God uses to help us through our problems that we face today. And that means that no situation we face is hopeless, but that we can have hope in every situation with and because of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean our problems are going to go away. It simply means that God gives us the ability to conquer them in His way, in a way we might never think. One of the greatest examples of this is found in Acts chapter 4, when the Jewish leaders have gone to the church leaders and they said, you must stop preaching. You must stop talking about Jesus Christ. And there is an implicit threat or else. And so the Christian leaders got together and they prayed. I think many of us, if we had been those people, we would have said, oh Lord, help us, you know, help the pressure ease, or help us get out of this situation, or help us through it, or somehow. Those leaders said, give them a supernatural boldness so that they could preach the name of Christ stronger and better than ever. And that's exactly what happened. The boldness that they had enabled them to overcome even the Jewish leaders and cause the church to grow. So God's resurrection power can cancel our past. It can enable us to conquer our problems. But even more, it allows us to literally change our personality. Now, not literally, in the sense that a person who's an introvert before they become to Christ, they're not going to become an extrovert because now they're a Christian. But what God's going to do is He's going to take us and He's going to make us a whole new, better us than we ever thought we could be. That's what I'm talking about. And that's where we go back to the same question that we asked ourselves at the beginning of the message. What would you like to change about yourself? Or better yet, what would your spouse like to change about you? What would your children like you to change about you? Or children, what would your parents like you to change about you? One wife said her husband was too temperamental. She jokingly went on to explain he's 90% temper and 10% mental. I don't know what your spouse would say about you this morning, but how about this? We can answer that question for ourselves. How would you complete this sentence? It's just like me to, and then fill in the blank. It's just like me to be late all the time. It's just like me to be short with the people I love. It's just like me to be unable to stay on a diet. It's just like me to find a way to put my foot in my mouth. It's just like me to blow up, be depressed, be angry. How would you fill in that sentence? That's probably the one way you really want God to change you. And the good news is that He can and He will, because He has a two-step process by which He wants to change us into a whole new, better us. The first step is seen in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when Paul writes, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. When we give our lives to Christ, that's the starting and the turning point. We're not the same anymore. We've begun life as a brand new child of God. And that's what the Bible refers to as called being born again, the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. It means we get a chance to have a do-over, a new start. But now we are doing it with the power of Christ inside of us, because God has promised us that He will put His Spirit inside of us. He will literally put a part of Himself inside of us so that we can live with Him and through Him and in Him. It's that set of spiritual batteries we need that makes us have the power we need to change. But being born again is only the first step that God wants in us. The second and perhaps more important step is that He wants that initial change to be followed by a lifetime of growth in Jesus. He describes that growth in Romans 12:2. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remake you so that the whole attitude of mind, your whole attitude of mind is changed, so that you in practice will prove that the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect. Starting in 2 weeks, we're going to examine the tools that God uses to begin this process of growth in our lives. Then we're going to examine Galatians 5:22 and 23, what we call the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Each week we're going to take one of those fruits and see how God wants to produce that in our lives to make us a better us. Now, why does God do all this? Why did God give us His power and His Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? For one reason: to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Think about what I'm going to say for a moment. God will help you become as much like Jesus Christ as you will allow yourselves to. Think about it. God will allow you and I to become as much like Jesus Christ on this earth as we allow ourselves to be. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, when these 9 characteristics of love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, when they grow and multiply in our lives, over time, we will see that we will consistently grow from the person we used to be into the person that Christ wants us to be, the one who looks like Jesus Christ. But here's a question. Most of us have been in Christ a long time. We can name Christians maybe who have been in longer in Christ. So why don't we as Christians exhibit these character traits of the Holy Spirit more than we do? The answer is found from a scene in one of Hollywood's best movies. A 1956 movie that just happened to be on TV on ABC last night, The Ten Commandments. It's a great movie. It's one of the few Hollywood movies that I think do a good job of describing what could have been like back then. Well, the movie tells how God used a man by Moses to deliver the Israelites from their slavery in Egypt. And between the time when Moses first appears before Pharaoh and when finally Pharaoh lets God's people go, God sent 10 plagues upon the nations of Egypt, the nation of Egypt. And each of those 10 plagues was related to a specific false god the Egyptians worshiped. For instance, the Egyptians worshiped frogs. Why? I have no idea. Okay? There's no answer to that. So what did God do to show that this was a false god? He sends a plague of frogs that overruns Egypt. Now imagine waking up to find frogs in your bed. Waking up to find frogs in the water you want to drink. Waking up to have something to eat and a frog hops into that bowl or plate of food. Going into your closet and putting on a cloth and frogs hop out of your clothing. Literally everything, everywhere you go is Frog City. There are so many frogs that Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "All right, Moses, I give up." And so Moses asked Pharaoh, "When do you want me to get rid of the frogs?" Now, if it had been you and I who are Pharaoh, what would we have said? "Right now, please! I'm sick and tired of these frogs." But you know what Pharaoh said in the movie? Why go through one more night of frogs? Why wait until tomorrow? Why would anyone live with all these frogs when they didn't have to? But you know, you and I live with our own frogs when we fail to change today what God wants us to change. How many times have we said, "I'll start praying tomorrow. I'll start reading scripture tomorrow. I'll start doing what I should tomorrow. I'll start being tomorrow." And God's looking at us and saying, "Why are you waiting? I'm here today to help you." I don't know what reason we put off changing and growing in Christ until tomorrow. But I do know that as long as we're willing to wait until tomorrow, today will never be. God wants us to change into His image. He's willing to help us as much as He can. He's willing to give us every possible tool. He's willing to give us His resurrection power. All He asks is that we say to Him and we turn to Him so that we can cancel our faults and we can conquer our problems and we can change our personality and become a much better us than we ever dreamed we could be starting today rather than waiting. What I love about Easter is that it is the greatest reminder in this world that God is still in the resurrection business. That's the promise. That's the power we have every day of our lives. What do you want? How do you want to change? The good news, you can change. You can be as much like Jesus Christ as you will allow yourself to be. Through the resurrection of Jesus lives in you. Father, thank you for this day. For it is a reminder that you indeed are still in the resurrection business. You have changed those of us who have come to you and said, I believe. When we have come to you and we have asked you to forgive our sins and we've repented, we've taken your word and said, I believe your word. Help me to walk in baptism and to walk in the newness of life and to walk with you. You are so faithful. This morning, Father, as we gather together to honor you, praise you for what you did with and through your Son, we ask that you now change us into the person you want us to be. That over the weeks and months and years to come, that people will ask, what happened? And we'll be able to point them to you. This power of yours. In your name, we pray. It all starts with coming to Christ, as we've mentioned. If you've not done that, you're going to offer the invitation to him, like we do every week. We encourage you to come forward. Make that decision for Christ so that you too can experience the resurrection. We're going to stand. We're going to sing that song that Jeff's going to come forward and lead us in. And again, if you have that decision, make it. Let's stand.